in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? Busters. I'm glad you knew that. Would have fallen really flat, wouldn't it, if you didn't? And no, I am not going to be talking about ghosts, but isn't that tune going to be haunting you for the rest of the day? No, but it will. Let's change the lyrics slightly. If there's something needed in your neighbourhood, who are they going to call? Well, maybe you. Maybe you. Let me pose a question. How would you like to see lives improved in your community? How could you be a part of improving lives in your community? Now, hold on to that question, please, because I'm going to come back to it later. How would you like to see lives improved? Today we reach the end of our series on purpose. Let me remind you where we've come from. Starting with Jeremiah chapter 29, we've been looking at how we seek the peace and prosperity of the places where God has placed us and in all the things that we do. So we started with purpose in everything. Kind of covers it really, doesn't it? But we moved on more specifically to purpose in school and work, purpose in family, purpose in friendship, purpose in Holy Week, and purpose in leisure. And if you were here last week, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to play games every week we meet. But today our theme is purpose in community, which I want to break down into two. Purpose as good neighbours and purpose as good citizens. So, another theme song. Neighbours. Everybody needs good neighbours, with a little understanding, find the perfect blend. Neighbours should be there for one another. That's when good neighbours become good friends. Oh, you're so good. This largely warm-hearted, I think, Australian soap opera, which brought us Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan, let's not forget, or perhaps we want to, and countless other stars, it seems, has been on the airwaves since 1985. In 2022, it was announced that it would be finishing. Sob, sob. And a final episode was broadcast, including the return of some of the more famous stars. But it seems that people can't get enough of Neighbours. It came back, apparently, and can now be found on Amazon Prime. So if you need a fix of Neighbours, that is where to go. Now, you may not be that fussed by Neighbours the soap, but you should be concerned to be good neighbours to those around you. It's far, far better than the alternative, and it's in line with the teaching of Jesus. In our reading, the Pharisees are quizzing Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? One of them asks. What will Jesus say in answer to this question? They've just failed to trap Jesus in a question about whether they should pay taxes to Caesar or not. Will they have more success in tripping him up this time? Jesus answers very simply, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And it's not an answer that any of the Pharisees can argue with. It's in the law that they follow. Jesus goes on, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments, says Jesus. Now, we can easily miss the significance here, I think, of this second of those two commandments that Jesus reminds them of, to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, just before our reading, Jesus has been engaged in conversation with the Sadducees. Where the Pharisees accept the authority of both the law and the prophets, the Sadducees accept only the law or the Torah. The Sadducees deny any likelihood of resurrection of people on the final day, as the Jews would put it, whereas the Pharisees believe in that resurrection through their understanding of the prophets, which, as I've said, the Sadducees don't follow. Culturally, the Sadducees accommodate themselves to the Greek culture around them, whereas the Pharisees resist its encroachments on their way of life. Also, the worship of the Sadducees is focused on the temple, whereas that of the Pharisees is based on the synagogue. In just about every way, the Pharisees and the Sadducees disagree. And it's in this context that Jesus says to the Pharisees, quite possibly still within earshot of the Sadducees, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't just love the people you agree with, Jesus is saying, but also those with whom you don't agree. Don't just love them a little bit, but love them as much as you love yourself. And here Jesus is assuming, as I think most of us do, we do tend to love ourselves, even though, of course, some of us can suffer from low self-esteem that maybe impacts on the way that we love others, because if we don't love ourselves that much, we may not love others that much. The story of the fall that we find in Genesis chapter 3 isn't just a story about sin entering the world. It's also a story about the fragmentation of human relationships. Through Jesus, God is reconciling the world to himself, and God's people are called to be part of that reconciliation, part of the reversal of the fall. One way that you can do that is by purposefully choosing to be good neighbors. There's a wonderful paraphrase of John chapter 1, verse 14 that appears in the Message. And there it says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that great? The word became flesh and blood and moved in to the neighborhood. Jesus, God's Son, chose to be our neighbor. Now, here's the thing. When you moved to the house, or maybe the apartment that you live in now, Jesus moved in to your neighborhood. Yes, he may have been there already, but he moved in to your neighborhood. Since the return of Jesus to his heavenly Father, the word becomes flesh and blood in us. Look down at your hands and your feet, maybe. Look down at your hands and your feet. Touch your ears. I'm just waiting to see. It's like Simon Says, isn't it, here? Touch your ears and your lips. We are called to serve and be good news to our neighbors, using, yes, our hands and our feet and whatever else God has given us. We are called to listen to neighbors and to offer words of encouragement as Jesus' ears and lips. If you think of yourself as Jesus' flesh and blood moved into the neighborhood, how might that change the way you relate to your neighbors? Wendy and I have been now in our current manse for almost 8.5 years, and in Buckingham for coming up to 10 years. So we're kind of accepted in the community now, I think. I like to think, anyway. You may know that we live in a close, just over there, of 8 houses, and we are the 3rd longest inhabitants of that close, going up the pecking order. We are now the only ones in the close whose children have flown the nest. And also, I think I can safely say, the oldest. See, good things come to those who wait or survive this long, don't they? I'm sure that some of you will be better neighbours than us. But we try our best to be purposeful as neighbours. Back in the day, BC, before COVID, we had several barbecues with all of our neighbours sharing food and drink at badminton and table tennis in the square between our houses. That's the good thing about being in a cul-de-sac, really. Occasionally you get a car trying to go through and turns right up our driveway, but then they realise the error of their ways and reverse back out. But we can do those sorts of things. And it's good to be part of such things. Near the beginning, just after the beginning of lockdown about 4 years ago, I think it was the Archbishop of Canterbury who encouraged us to light a candle on a certain evening. And we put a note at that time through the doors of all our neighbours. I mean, you felt guilty doing it at the time, didn't you? Am I getting too close to my neighbours from the safety of the other side of the front door? But anyway, we put a note through the seven neighbours in our close and inviting them to join us in lighting a candle on that day. And I think I probably said something about, you know, for us it would be a prayer for, well, really for healing, wasn't it? And for an end to COVID. And when the evening came, six out of the seven of our neighbours lit that candle. Small things, maybe. When two of our neighbours were shifting a load of earth and turf out of their garden one Saturday, I thought, I'll offer my help. And I had really no agenda other than to just be a good neighbour. 2 hours and a very aching body later, I finished. And I was finished, I have to say. But these are some of the things, aren't they, that help good neighbours to become good friends, or at least friends. They have opened the way now and again to talk about spiritual things. And even if they haven't, being a good neighbour is in some way, I think, restoring God's original intent for creation and helping to build back community. Community that so often becomes fractured. In us, the word becomes flesh and blood in our neighborhood. How are you being Jesus where God has put you? What might you do? Good neighbors. What about purpose as good citizens? In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus is asked by an expert in the law what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asks him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the man replies in more or less the same words with which Jesus answers the Pharisees in Matthew 22. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You're right, says Jesus. Do this, and you will live. And this, of course, opens up another question from the man who asks, when he says, who is my neighbor? And to answer him, Jesus tells the story that we know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man is beaten and robbed and left for dead. A priest walks by that way. He sees the man and he passes by on the other side. Then a Levite, another holy man, passes that way. He sees the man and he too doesn't stop but passes by on the other side. These are religious people that Jesus' listeners would have expected to stop and help. Because after all, if people of religion or people of faith at least don't stop, who will? They might have thought. Then a Samaritan comes that way. He is not seen as one of God's chosen people. He is not expected to stop. But in Jesus' story, he has pity on the man. He tends his wounds. He puts the man on his donkey. He takes him to a local inn to recover and be looked after. The Samaritan has never met the man before that he helps. He is of a different people and of a different faith. But he is the one who is neighbor to the man who needed help. I think the truth is that if we only looked out for our immediate neighbors, the people that we know, the world would be lost. We need also to look out for the people we don't know. And that's why society and government have developed. And when society and government are at their best, they help us all to be good neighbours to all in society. Individually, well, you know this as well as I do, we can't be all things to everyone. But together we might be. I'm reminded, a bit of light relief here maybe, of a tale about three kids who were boasting about their parents in the way that kids sometimes do. And one of them said, "My dad is a teacher, and he makes me smart for nothing." The second one said, "My mum is a doctor, and she makes me well for nothing." At this, the third one piped up and said, "Well, my dad is a pastor, and he makes me good for nothing." Most of you will know that my dad was a pastor. I let that rest there. We have schools, don't we? Because for most of our children, it's a better way than being educated at home. We have healthcare professionals because most of us do not have the expertise to cure. I'll leave you to think about why we have vicars, pastors and the like. But we have society and government to ensure that we are good neighbours to those we don't know, because everybody needs good neighbours to help them through. And Christians, as citizens of heaven, should be part of such things, bringing heaven to earth. Yes, but how? That's always the question with these things, isn't it? When a preacher says we need to do these things. Yes, but how? Without mentioning names, here are some things, and maybe I'm sure there are others, but these sprung to mind fairly quickly to me, some things that members of our church are doing to be good neighbours to people that they don't necessarily know. Things that you yourself might choose to do. You could choose to become involved in local politics and stand for the town council. There are usually vacancies. And you don't have to be overtly political, but willing to serve in our town. You could be part of feeding people through things like our church cameo lunch club or of the Buckingham community lunch, offering food and friendship. Part of bringing community back together again. You could help our local schools and their pupils, perhaps by listening to children and helping them in their reading. You could offer appropriate spiritual support in places like Buckingham Hospital. You could share your talents, your knowledge, your skills through something like U3A, for which I think age-wise I qualify. You could go along this coming Thursday to the Buckingham Town Meeting at the Community Centre and find out more about what's happening in the town and have your say. Let me go back to my earlier question. How would you like to see lives improved in our community? How could you be a part of improving them? If you are a Buckingham resident, hopefully you will know that our constituency is changing at the next general election. We will now be a part, or then be a part, of the new Buckingham and Bletchley constituency. I had an email in the week from one of the prospective parliamentary candidates seeking our insights into how a member of parliament can help improve the lives of people in the town. So, I thought I'd ask you, here and now, how you think we might do that and accept the invitation to meet up with the said candidate. I haven't got a pen and paper in front of me. I guess we're recording this, Andrew, and so I can listen back later to remind me of the things you might have said. What are the needs in and around our town? Where do lives need improving? Over to you. Can you take 2 or 3 minutes with one another? Yes, you can. You can. So we might at this point pause the recording, but take 2 or 3 minutes just to discuss and then be ready to feedback. Good idea. And then Andrew will dash around with a microphone, keeping fit. Okay. Conscious that we have other things to do, like share communion with one another. Sorry to cut you short, but conversations may continue. We just briefly over here got into Bobby's on the beat, didn't we? Interesting, because I thought, do you know, I almost never see a police officer in Buckingham, except in a car passing by, and that's rare. So that was a thought I had, and we also talked about the market traders, didn't we, about being amongst them when they're there. But what else? What have you come up with? Oh, can we get microphone in, please, Judith? Yep. Please stick a hand up and thank you.
We were saying that services for mental health tend to be based in Wickham or Aylesbury, which is miles away for people without transport. Mm. And I think it's important that, you know, there's more here for people.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
And long waiting lists as well.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, long waiting lists in anything, I should think. So, you know, national health and all of that should be a concern, shouldn't it? Susie, Margaret and Graham, I see.
Sorry, yeah, we mentioned about the buses, how if you want to go to college in Banbury, you can't get there on your own. You'd have to rely on parents. So, well, better public transport, not just later in the evening for people who want to go out, but for people to go about their ordinary, you know, lives kind of thing. And we also said about communities, didn't we? Community, more community-focused things for young people. Because although there's the community, you know, there's the youth centre, none of us really know what goes on there.
No,
you know.
True.
car parking. It's the bane of my life. The machines don't seem to work.
No.
I have mobility issues, so to get in and out of a car, I need to open the doors wide.
Yeah.
You try and find that in the car park down there. It's a lottery.
Yeah.
I mean, I avoid shopping in Buckingham on Tuesdays and Thursdays, on Tuesdays and Saturdays, market day. The other days I don't go into town because I can park up by there. It's just not fit for purpose.
Yeah, thank you, Graham. You should do what I do, just avoid shopping. Yep, Margaret, over here.
I was thinking of the things that MP might be able to help us with. And we've been talking about getting the Lacehill Health Centre up and running. We want it now. We don't want it in 10 years. We've been talking about it for years.
Yeah.
And also dentistry, NHS dentistry, is almost on its knees.
Mm.
We need the MP, our new MP, to implement that.
Yeah.
And when you say Bob is on the beat, we've got a vote for a Police and Crime Commissioner coming up very soon.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that money is well spent. I think it'd be better to spend it on Bobby's on the beat personally. But we should vote regardless. Even if you consider the possibility of writing over it, please use this money for Bobby's on the beat instead of a Prime Police and Crime
Commissioner. Spoiled ballot paper, there's a thought, yeah. It does seem to be, you know, a well-paid job, doesn't it, to which people aspire to, the money, that is. Yeah. Anyone else want to add in? Final opportunity to contribute. Some good ideas there. Thank you. Okay, well, we will move on, and Let me just draw us to a close. So lots of things that we might raise and that I might raise. I mean, I will contact this prospective candidate and say, yeah, I'd like to meet with you. Notice I'm not revealing who it is. But I think, great, that at least one of them's made contact. I mean, I don't remember that happening in all of my time in Buckingham previously. So it's a start, isn't it? And let's share that, because that will be good. So I'm impressed that someone is actually asking, and I hope that they will follow it through and be interested. So, purposeful, being purposeful in communities, in neighbourhoods, being good neighbours as Jesus calls us to be, being good citizens. So let's hear the call of Jesus to love the Lord your God with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. In a moment, we're going to come to a time of communion, but I'm just going to lead us in prayer of intercession, short prayers of intercession. Then we'll gather around the table, and all who know and love the Lord, all who would like to know and love the Lord, are welcome to take bread and wine. And we will do that by people inviting you to come forward today, although if you need to remain in your seats or prefer to, then please let Jeff know as he is ushering people forwards. But for now, let's pray. And I want to invite you to bring a response. When you hear me say, may your kingdom come, will you respond with the words, and your will be done? So, loving God, we come to offer our prayers, and we pray, may your kingdom come, and your will be done. We pray for those who live closest to us, for the conversations and opportunities we have to be good neighbours. And we pray in our immediate neighbourhoods, may your kingdom come and your will be done. We pray for people of influence in our locality, town councillors, school teachers, university lecturers, employers and church leaders. Lord, as they seek to bring leadership, education, wisdom, and direction, may your kingdom come and your will be done. As we approach a general election later this year, we pray for our parliamentary candidates in the constituencies where we live. May they conduct their campaigns with respect and integrity, and with the people's interests at heart. Through them and through the outcome of the election, may your kingdom come and your will be done. We turn our thoughts to the wider world. In the wake of continuing conflict, we pray for the people of Gaza and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, and for all other peoples affected by war. We ask that Jesus, our Prince of Peace, may come. And for these peoples, we pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done. And finally, we come back to ourselves. Bring light to us in our darkness, relief in our pain, comfort in our grief, hope in our doubt, and harmony with those around us. In our lives, may your kingdom come and your will be done. We ask this, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.